While the most valuable commodity in sports today, Jeff Passan considers it the pitching arm. Major League Baseball is spending about $1.5 billion on pitchers' salaries, and that's five times more than the combined cost of every starting quarterback in the NFL. Problem is, pitchers' arms are stressed to the breaking point. All those throws result in more than 50% of all pitchers going on the disabled list each season. That's 50%. Fully one quarter of Major League pitchers today wear a zipper scar from Tommy John surgery along their elbows, and the damage is extending to our kids, who increasingly are damaging their arms as they all pursue million-dollar contracts. Jeff Passan is the lead baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports. He lives here in Kansas City. He's written a new book on all this, titled The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. And Jeff, nice to have you. Welcome.
Steve, appreciate you having me here.
More than 50% of all pitchers are going onto the disabled list each year in the majors. That's just amazing to me. A quarter of today's pitchers have undergone Tommy John surgery. Staggering figures, Jeff. The only conclusion can be is we've overdone it. Do I have that right?
Yeah, in a lot of senses we have. We're throwing harder than we have ever before. And the youth baseball apparatus is putting more stress and strain on kids than it ever has before. And the combination of these two things, the increased velocity, as well as the amount of innings pitched by kids throughout the year, especially playing year-round baseball, has contributed to what I think doctors, researchers, and I'm joining the cause, are calling an epidemic now.
You point out that even kids who have just become teenagers are facing the surgery. 14-year-olds, Jeff?
14-year-olds. I think the most staggering number that I came across, and I've been doing this, researching this book for 4 years now, between 2007 and 2011, of all the Tommy John surgeries that took place, 56.8% were on kids 15 to 19 years old.
That's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it's scary too.
Their kids are throwing their arms out, basically, is what we're talking about.
They are, and it's not just when they're 15 to 19 years old. This starts when kids are 8 and 9. My son is 8 years old now. He plays up in the Knoll Hills League, and he's pitching for the first time this year. And I am in charge of all the kids on the team. And it scares me to death because as conscientious as I am, as much as I know about this, I don't know that I can keep them healthy. I know all I can do as a parent and as a coach is look out for them, and especially at the young age, try to restrict them from going out there and putting all the emphasis on competition, trying to make sure that they are developing. I mean, the competition over development is it's a scary thing that's happened in youth sports over the last 20 years or so, when single sport specialization has become the name of the game.
Let's talk about some of the mechanics here. Why does pitching place so much stress on the arm, Jeff?
The motion to throw overhand is the single fastest thing the human body can do. And so when you are throwing overhand, it's not just your arm that's doing the work. It starts down at your feet. And the ankles send energy up your legs, through your backside, up your back, and it all loads into the shoulder. And at that point, when all of this potential energy is loading into the shoulder, when your arm goes back to throw a ball, you can barely see it unless you're watching in really slow motion video. Your arm almost goes parallel to the ground when it's coming back. And that's called external rotation. Right then, it's almost like your finger is on the trigger of a gun. And you are pulling it right then. And the arm moving forward from external rotation into internal rotation goes at about 8,000 degrees per second. It is faster than an eye blink. And all of that energy is going from your shoulder down to this little 2-inch band of tissue that holds together your upper and lower arms, called the ulnar collateral ligament.
And that's what, if that thing snaps, that's when Tommy John surgery comes into play.
Exactly. And it's been happening for decades. This is not a new problem. It used to be that pitchers got injured because their shoulders were weak, but we now understand that you can strengthen the muscles in your shoulders through various exercises. And so shoulder injuries aren't nearly as prevalent now as they once were. You can't strengthen ligaments, though. And because of that, stabilizing the arm in that area is a very difficult thing to do at the velocities at which these players are throwing.
That's interesting. I want to bring Riley Pint into our conversation now. He's a senior at St. Thomas Aquinas in Overland Park and a right-handed pitcher for the school's baseball team. The 2015 Gatorade Player of the Year, Riley is ranked number 2 on Perfect Game's 2016 high school top 500 prospects. At February's Kansas City Premier Baseball Pro Day Showcase, Riley threw, get this, a fastball clocked at 102 miles an hour. He joins us by phone from St. Thomas Aquinas this morning. And Riley, thanks for taking some time out of class. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
102 miles an hour. Was that the first time you broke the 100 mark?
Yeah, it actually was. I guess it was just a good day to pitch, you know?
Did you know you'd thrown it that fast? Or, I mean, could you tell when you released the ball?
No, not at first. It was kind of, like I said, I felt good that day and all my stuff was working, but it was not till after when one of our guys that works there, Casey Shaw, showed me a text from one of the scouts that showed us what the velocity was. So,
How does it feel to know that you're throwing as hard as the major leaguers are?
It's kind of cool, I guess, just because, you know, you watch these pitchers every night and, you know, you think to yourself, man, I mean, I can throw as hard as these guys, you know. Like, I mean, it's something I strive for to be there one day. So, I mean, it's just a little earlier than I expected, I guess.
I mean, you play for a summer league team as well. How many months each year are you playing baseball, Riley?
I'd probably only say like 5 or 6 months out of the year just because, I mean, every time else I'm just taking time off and just working out and just trying to get stronger.
Mm-hmm. Half of all Tommy John surgeries, you heard Jeff Passan say this a little bit ago, in this country are on teenagers. When you hear a stat like that, I mean, is that something that you and your coaches keep in mind as you train and play each day?
Yeah, I mean, we always keep everything like under less stress as we can. Like, we don't throw that much unless we're throwing a pin or something. But, like, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me just because, you know, a lot of kids who don't take time off are throwing year-round and, you know, they just never put the ball down. So I could see why it happens.
What else do you do to protect your arm? I mean, what can you do to reduce the risk of injury at this point?
Right now, just, you know, keep the pitch limits down. And, I mean, there's really no reason for, like, any kids to just be going throwing year-round. I mean, we do a lot of stuff at Premier Baseball with Bob Zimmerman, and we do a lot of like external rotation stuff and just working on keeping the arm healthy and keeping the arm, you know, ready to go for when you throw.
What's the maximum number of pitches you'll throw in a game?
I've honestly never thrown over about 100 pitches in a game, and even if I throw over 100, it's going to be once a season maybe right now. And if that, you know.
There's a lot of attention on you this season, Riley. Your last for the Saints. You've committed to Louisiana State University, saying you've always wanted to play in the College World Series. The Tigers down there have made a few appearances there, like 17, and they've won a few, too. They've won 6. When it came to picking a college, was the baseball program or the academic program the first consideration here?
It was probably the athletic program, the baseball team, just because, you know, I mean, I wanted a place where I could feel at home, I guess, with the coaches, with the coaching staff and everything. But, I mean, once when I got there, I mean, I just felt at home. I mean, it was just an awesome experience just to get to go down there, and all the history they have down there is just incredible.
I'm wondering what you're going to do next. The Major League Baseball draft is coming up in June. There's a fork in the road here pretty quickly. You have some options. I mean, you can go into the draft, you can skip the draft this year, or you can seriously consider an offer from the pros if you're drafted. Have you decided which way you're going to go yet?
No, I haven't really decided yet. I mean, right now I'm really just focused on high school baseball right now and just trying to get us back to a state championship and just trying to get in contention. But the decision will probably be after high school, you know, and just see what happens, I guess. Just whatever the best option is for me, that's the option I'll take, I guess.
I'm wondering about how much interest you have in Jeff Passan's book, which is titled The Arm.
Yeah, I love it. I've already read it, actually. It's actually a really good book. I mean, just some of the stuff that's in there, you know, it's mind-boggling, you know, just because you've never really heard of this stuff before, and you know, it's really, really intriguing.
Does it scare you?
You know, it doesn't really scare me because I believe in the process that I'm doing, and you know, I'm just gonna commit to my process, and you know, I'm not gonna do anything else that's gonna strain me from doing something
Right.
else. So.
You know, Jeff, based on what you know now, these years of research, all the energy you put into the book, what would you say to someone like Riley Pyne?
I'd say Riley's done it right, actually.
Which was what?
Playing basketball during the winter, for
Breaking it
example.
up.
Yeah, and having a conscientious father. I mean, Riley's father played college baseball himself, and so he knows the perils of the arm, and he has seen this. And
And so limiting pitch counts at Riley's age, key to his development.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And I think it's having involved parents and having coaches who buy into it and aren't trying to get into the heads of the child and say that I need you to do something that you might not be comfortable doing. I like the fact that Riley and his father Neil and his mother Missy have really taken control of his career and of his arm and have not let anybody co-opt it. And you see that happening everywhere these days, just because the need to achieve early is such an important thing in people's minds. And this isn't just in baseball. This is just modern society, I think. We adore the prodigy. And Riley has been a prodigy for a long time, but he has been his own as opposed to somebody else's. And that's why he's in the position he's in right now. That's why there are teams in the top five in the draft this year clamoring to get him. And that's why he has a chance to become a major league pitcher much sooner than most.
Well, Riley, I wish you all the best, and I want you to know how much I appreciate you taking some time with us. And we'll be watching with great anticipation here. Best of luck to you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Riley.
Get back to class, kid.
I will. I will.
Well, Jeff, what did you learn from talking to the great Sandy Koufax for this book, who it was so great and pitched a whole lot back in the day?
Yeah, he did. Sandy Koufax's career was done at 30 years old. And Sandy Koufax, in order to pitch, was taking drugs that are now banned by the FDA because they are unsafe for human consumption.
No kidding.
And he was rubbing pure capsaicin, the ingredient inside of habaneros and ghost peppers and all sorts of chilies, on his arm in order to numb it. That's what Sandy Koufax needed to do just to get out there and pitch.
And what does he say about that now as he looks back on it?
He looks back on it fondly, thinking that I enjoyed my time out there, and I was as good as anyone has ever been. But he also wishes that he had had a chance to do it for longer. And I talked with Frank Jobe, the doctor who performed the first Tommy John surgery before his passing. And Dr. Jobe said, if I had thought of this 10 years earlier, it would be called Sandy Koufax surgery.
Oh, that's interesting. Jeff Passan's very interesting new book titled The Arm: Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. What a pleasure to have you, Jeff. Thanks very much.
Pleasure was all mine, Steve. Thank you.